I see some new faces, so I'll introduce myself. My name is Chris Devine. I was looking at my phone a couple of minutes ago to look back to 2017, 4 years ago, when Misty actually messaged me on Instagram and said, "Hey, I know that you're serving over the summer right now, but when you come back, we're actually looking for a youth director for our church. We would love if you came and served with us." And here we are 4 years later. I've been in the youth, and now I'm here preaching on Sunday mornings. And all I got to say is God is good, because if you would have told me I was doing this 4 years ago, I would have said, you're lying. There's no way. I remember my first sermon I preached, it was at North Shore Elementary School. And I remember just the Holy Spirit just wrecking me before I went up there and preached. And Richie had me do like the after the worship, the little, what he just did basically right there. And I remember just getting so fired up that I forgot that I had to preach after that. I had to collect myself, because the Holy Spirit was emptying himself out on me. And I believe he's done the same thing. I'm a little bit more composed today and how I'm going to present it. But I believe the Lord has really put a good word on my heart when it comes to this wrapping up this series in Hosea 14. But just how relevant it is to our daily life, and how relevant this word is to our lives. So before we get started, just want to share a few updates in my life. For those of you that don't know, I'm getting married next month. So praise God for that. But before our big day, me and my fiance Ellie have gone to, we'll have gone to six weddings before our own wedding while we were engaged. So we've had a lot of practice. We've seen a lot of good. We've also seen a lot of bad, but but it's been an awesome journey, just throughout the entire process of being engaged and just enjoying that season, because I can't wait to be married. Don't get me wrong, but I think there's such a joy of being engaged and preparedness and the steps that you're going to put in that are going to impact you for the rest of your life. We're going through premarital counseling right now. It's fun. It's a lot. It's fun. But I think the work and the bricks that we're putting in our foundation now is what's going to get us through 30 years from now, when we look at each other and be like, where are we? Like, where is the Lord taking us thus far? Another big update, for a lot of you know that I work at Chick-fil-A. I've been with Chick-fil-A for 7 years now, through the restaurant and through Windshape Camps, the nonprofit from Chick-fil-A. And the Lord really put in my heart of ownership in Chick-fil-A, and I felt so much peace with that that call. And I was just like, there's a lot of steps I got to get there, and there's a lot of obstacles. And they say there's a program internally, it's called the Leadership Development Program, and they say it is harder to get into this program than it is to get in Harvard. And I don't know about y'all, but I never applied for Harvard, because I knew that there was no chance for me to get in there. But back in May, I applied for this program through Chick-fil-A, and I got an interview right away. I got my first interview a couple months later, and for the last couple of months, I've been in interview after interview with Chick-fil-A and trying to get into this program that they say is harder to get into than Harvard. And finally, I had my last interview a couple weeks ago, and in that interview, I had three different interviews, so it was a total of 3 hours. So I don't know about y'all, but that's a lot of questions that they could ask. But when I tell you that, I mean, Richie said confidence, it was this humble assurance that I was walking in the direction that I was supposed to be walking into. And it was peace that surpassed all understanding, that when I got that phone call this past Monday saying, "Hey, Chris, we want you to be a part of this program," I didn't faint. I didn't cry. I was thankful, but I felt this peace. Thank you for agreeing with me that I should be in this program. But I already knew that this is what the Lord had called me to do. So there was this assurance and this peace that I had, that this is the direction I'm going to walk into, and the Lord's going to open up any doors he has to get me here. So me and my fiance Ellie, once we're married, we'll be leaving in January. They wanted me to start in October, October 11th. Our wedding day is October 30th. I just said it wasn't going to work out like that. So if there's any other way we could do this. So I'm going to be leaving in January and traveling for 2 years, partnering with Chick-fil-A, opening up new restaurants, working with existing restaurants, in the effort to be able to, after 2 years, apply for my own location and be a Chick-fil-A restaurant owner. So praise God for that. Praise God for that. But that's me. So let's talk about the Lord here. Let's get into what we're going to talk about today. We're in Hosea 14, if you have your Bibles today. And we're talking about repentance. And last year, I believe it was June, I preached a message on repentance as well, and how it brings restoration. So this is similar, but what I love about the word is that the themes are consistent across the board, and just the words that the Lord uses to penetrate our hearts is going to be a little bit different each time. And what we see in Hosea here is going to be a little bit different. But before we get into that, I just want to share some definitions with you on two big words that we're going to be talking about a lot. First word is restore. Everybody say restore. Now, I'm a speaker that loves to be spoken back to. So go ahead and shout me down. Do what you got to do, because I want to have this conversation with y'all about what the Lord has on my heart. So this word restore, say restore again.
Restore.
Means to bring back or to put back something to a former or original state. This second word is repentance. Everybody say repentance. If you've been around the church a little while or even a short while, you know about this word repentance. And in the biblical Hebrew version of this word, the idea of repentance is represented by two verbs. Now, I don't really like school a whole lot, but I know a verb means it's an action word. It means you're doing something. So thinking about the verb repentance, it means to return and to feel sorrow. In the New Testament, the word is translated as repentance, and it is the Greek meaning. In the Greek, it means after or behind one's mind. When it's compounded, the word is the preposition, after or with. Now, I'm getting in the nitty-gritty, but trust me, it's important. And that verb means to perceive, to think, the result of perceiving or observing. In this compound word, the preposition combines the two meanings of time and change, which may be denoted after and different. So the whole compound means to think differently after. This word is therefore primarily an afterthought, different from the former thought, a change of mind, a change of conduct, a change of mind or heart, and a change of consciousness. Let me pray before I get into this, because the Lord is doing something today. So thank you, Father, for what you're about to say in this message, Lord. Thank you so much for the words that you put in my heart. But Lord, let's put some of my words aside and feel more of what you have to say to your people today. I don't want anything else other than your word to speak out of my mouth. I praise your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last June, I said, repentance seeks to do these three things. So just so we know where we're at and what we're talking about, this is what I said repentance seeks to do. The first thing repentance seeks to do and why it's necessary, because we're not going to talk about something that's just biblical just because. We're talking about it because it's biblical and necessary. The first thing repentance seeks to do is admit and confess our ignorance and our depravity, understanding how much we need the Lord. The second thing is it's helps us seek Jesus and his truth and embrace grace fully. The last thing, it helps us rejoice and spread the truth that Jesus is the way without anything in our way of doing that. So let's get into the word. We're gonna break down some of this text. I'm going to read it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to immerse ourselves in what is being talked about in Hosea. So we're going to start with verse 1 in Hosea 14, going 1 through 9. First thing it says is, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive us of our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. When we turn and return to the Lord, taking words with us, we must first come humbly. We got to address the fact that we were wrong. We got to address the fact that we were not walking in the right direction, put our pride to the side, and say, let me come back to you, let me get back in alignment, and walk humbly. We next need to recognize and identify our sin, sin that requires a total dependence of the grace of God. We have to understand that the direction that we're walking in, that we need separation from, is the wrong direction. Be able to address that, not just as the wrong direction, but walking in sin. Say it for what it is. I wasn't just wrong, but I was walking in sin. But also understanding that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, and he has graciously given his life for our sins. So at any given moment, we can turn from that sin once we identify it as sin and give it to the Lord. Something that I learned in my interview process, if you haven't realized, I got some hair on the top of my head. And I wrestled, if I'm being super transparent, as a black man, I wrestled with how I was going to be received by this company, by the way that I looked. I'm being very honest with you. And I wrestled with it. Maybe if I cut my hair, they would see me differently. Maybe if I styled it differently, they would see me differently. And then I realized that the Lord sees me for who I am and the content of my character. And even in that, he's called me to do this. And not even one time did they say, hey, so your hair, what are we going to do about this? It was always about who I was and what the Lord had called me through to do. So I want to remind you that even in walking in this sin, even in walking in the wrong direction, do not think for any second that you got to clean yourself up, cut off your hair, be able to walk in the direction of the Lord. That's not what grace is. That is not what the repentance is. Repentance is saying, hey, this is what I got on. This is what I'm going through. And I'm going to walk in this and put my pride aside no matter what. That's the reminder that I want to give you today. It's not about cleaning yourself up to come to the Lord. He will clean you up. He will prepare your steps and get you in the right direction. Well, let me chill out a little bit because I can stay on that one for a while. So going into verse 3, it says, Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war houses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. So similarly to the tone that we talked about just now, this is about understanding why we need repentance and restoration. We need to come declaring his greatness and his goodness. We can tell that he is merciful because he is a God of understanding, and we need his presence in our life. Looking at this passage, they're talking about these idols that they had made and them understanding, okay, well, we will never again say to the idols that we have made that you are our gods. And it reminded me how often that I have to remind myself that just because I'm passionate about something doesn't make it right. Chick-fil-A is something I'm passionate about. So I wrestled. Hey, is Chick-fil-A or ministry what I've been called to do? And often I find myself putting, well, I'm going to do Chick-fil-A and the business stuff and not do the ministry stuff. And the Lord convicted me and said, Chick-fil-A is not your God. That is a career. That is a job. At the end of the day, your life is your ministry. So let me help you understand that. There doesn't have to be a separation of what the Lord has called you to do and what you are working at. You can have ministry at your job. You can have ministry on your sports team like my boy Brock does. You can have ministry in your family like Genesis does. You can have ministry on your Facebook. you can have ministry in your life, and it doesn't have to be a separation. But it's important to remember, when you've put something else before God, that needs to come down. There needs to be restoration in that. There needs to be repentance in that. You got to understand that we need the presence of the Lord in our life. Going to verse 4, it says, the Lord says, then I will hear you of your faithfulness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send the roots deep to the soil, like cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. My people again will live under my shade. They will flourish like the grain and blossom like grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the vines of Lebanon. Now, I don't know about you, but just the way that he was describing what he's going to do for them, now that they have acknowledged that they were wrong and have come back to him, I don't know about y'all, but I want that kind of comfort. I want that kind of love from a father. And exactly what he's saying right here, he wants for you. When you understand that, hey, I was wrong and I was living in sin and I was walking in the right direction, and instead of cleaning myself up, I'm going to come right to you with wide open arms. When we were in a youth group, we went on this youth trip, and I don't remember a whole lot from the youth trip, but I remember that one van was singing this song, "With Arms Wide Open," the entire time. So now when I think about just coming back to the Father, "With Arms Wide Open," that's just how I want to run to the Father. With arms wide open, I want to just come and just embrace in the love, in the nourishment of a Father that, even though I was wrong, is not mad at me. He's not showing anger towards me. There is grace. There is forgiveness. There's not, "Hey, I'm going to hit you with this Bible because you're wrong." That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a Father that says, "Hey, come here. Let me hold you. Just let me hold you. Feel my presence." We know that the Lord is sovereign over our circumstance because he knows the healing that we truly need. He knows exactly what we need. Sometimes it is a kick to the face, because that's what we need to get going. But other times it's that love. It's that nourishment. It's that embrace. But next, he knows the depths of our faith. So even much so, he can see the surface level of, "Hey, this is what you need right now. But in 5 years, this is what you're also going to need for your walk. I'm going to put you through a little bit of trials and tribulations now, because just as Richie said, it's going to produce something in you. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. That's why we have joy and we glory in our sufferings, because it's going to produce something from us. Going into the next verses, it says, "O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like the tree that is always green. All your fruit will come from me." Verse 9, it says, "Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall." In my notes, I said, this just speaks for itself. I don't need to follow that up at all. I'm just going to read it again. It says, "O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. O Chris, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers." I want everybody to do something with me. Just do something with me. Close your eyes. And when I say, "O Chris," I want you to say in your head, "O your name." And listen to the rest of these words, thinking about yourself and your life and what the Lord has for you, what he's calling you to do, where he's calling you to lead, where he's calling you to walk into, but what he's also calling you to walk out of to get to where he's calling you to walk into. "Oh, Chris, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like the tree that is always green. All of your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But those in the path of sinners stumble and fall." This message and this word is so darn relevant today as it was then. Because I'm thinking about these things that have become idols in my life. I've been thinking about, okay, when it says all of your fruit will come from me, thinking that I can't do anything that bears fruit apart from the Lord. all this work that I've been putting into Chick-fil-A, all this work that I've been putting into my marriage, nothing from that is coming from me. All that will come from the Lord. And I also may not see that fruit tomorrow. It may be many years from now that I may see that fruit, but it's still going to be there because of God's promise. And that verse 9 that has that warning, that understanding, let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. Now, I wouldn't consider myself the wisest man in the room, but I would consider myself somebody that seeks wisdom. And I would challenge all of you guys to seek wisdom earnestly so we can understand the things that the Lord is asking us to do. We can understand the things that he is telling us in his word. When I was little, I used to have to read the word a couple of times because I just didn't get it. I didn't understand what he was saying. What I didn't get was the part that I needed was the wisdom to understand these words, the ability to connect to the Holy Spirit. When you connect to the Holy Spirit, he just starts downloading stuff into your brain. When Richie's up here and he does this and he's kicking around, that's not just because he's fired up. That's because he's getting a download. He is getting something that is not coming from him. It is getting downloaded and it has no other way out than right here. That's where it comes out, right there. But that's what it is. It's a download. Remembering that the paths of the Lord are true and right. And let righteous people, let the people in the community chapel today live by walking in them. All right, let me catch my breath a little bit. What does this mean for us today? If you're taking notes, tagline this. What does this mean for us today? The first thing it means is that repentance takes and creates maturity. Repentance takes and creates maturity. We talked about having put our pride aside. That takes maturity. That takes emotional intelligence and understanding who you are and where you are, but also whose you are. Understanding that emotional intelligence and growing in emotional intelligence is a journey. It doesn't stop the day you feel like, okay, I made it now, I'm mature, I'm married, I got a job, I got kids. No, it stops the day that you die. And on that day is when you stop growing in emotional intelligence and maturity. But understanding that just because you have to repent and walk in a different direction doesn't make you any less mature. It actually makes you more mature for understanding it. The second thing is repentance takes obedience and submission. In Matthew 9, verse 13, it says, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want to show you mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call those who not just think they're righteous, but for those who know that they are sinners. For those who know that they are sinners. For those who know that they have to walk in obedience, and they have to submit themselves because of their sinful nature. The nature of their heart is to sin and to not follow the Lord. But we as believers have to submit ourselves and walk in obedience, even when walking in disobedience is probably a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more easier to do. When we walk in comfort and when we walk in this direction, as you can see, if I get out of the light, I get a little darker. My heart gets a little hardened. And it may have been easy to walk in this direction, but it's not in the light that the Lord has called me to walk in. I am the way, the truth, and the what? Come on now. The third thing, the fruit of repentance is a faith of freedom, but it is not without temptation. Now, this is a good message, and it feels good to know that we have repentance available to us. And when we have these things in our life that we're struggling with, we can turn from it. We can walk in a different direction. Praise God. That's awesome. But it is not a life that is without temptation. I think about the times in my life where I had to turn and repent. And I can go on and on. Not because I'm a horrible person, but because I am a person. And I have temptation. And I do struggle. But because of the grace of God, I can turn from those things. But it is not a life that we live without temptation. And it says in James 1, verses 22 through 27, I'm going to read it all. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and do not obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and then forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, you will do what it says, and you will not forget what you have heard. Then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, but do not control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Refusing to let the world corrupt you. If everybody can stand, I'm going to have the band come up. As y'all know, I'm short and sweet to the point. So the band can come up and y'all can stand as well as I close here. The fourth thing that repentance brings and why it's important for us today is repentance is the secret sauce. Everybody say secret sauce in our, excuse me, let me say this again because I got hung up on the secret sauce part. Repentance is the secret sauce to intimacy in our relationship with the Lord. The secret sauce to intimacy in our relationship with the Lord. Now, why is that important? Because as new believers and old believers, we're not about this surface level relationship with Jesus. Yes, I am a Christian. I am a C. I am a CH. I am a CH. I can sing that song all day. But if I don't know Jesus, then I'm not walking in obedience and submission to what he's called me to do. Intimacy is important. We can think about relationships in our life. That emotional intimacy with somebody, the transparency, the vulnerability, it's special. The Lord's, when you're vulnerable, when you're open to what he's going to ask you or call you to do, he can really use you. Just because you're saying, hey, I love you, but you're not vulnerable and open, well, what am I going to do with that? Think about my relationship with Ellie. If right off the bat, our first date, I say, hey, here's what it is. Here's who I am. First date. Because if I wasn't vulnerable emotionally with her, we couldn't set the course of where we're going now. If you're not going to be vulnerable, you better gut check that right now. If you struggle with vulnerability, you got to get that worked out. I'll get the prayer team up here right now. We can take care of that right now. I'm so serious. Because if you're not going to be open, the Lord's going to open you up one way or another. Best believe he will do a work in you to get you there. But once you're open and vulnerable, that is what's the secret sauce. Because we're not perfect people in here. We are not perfect people. If you came here thinking you were perfect, you're going to leave knowing that you're not perfect. I'm telling you right now, we are not perfect people. But what makes following Jesus so sweet is the intimacy we get to have with our Father. And that comes with putting our pride aside. That comes with saying, okay, here are the things in my life that I'm struggling with. I'm going to walk in a different direction. That verb repentance, I'm going to turn away from this one time, two times, three times, and walk in this direction. I thought about repentance as I can't repent if I know I'm going to struggle again. Repentance is saying, hey, right here in this moment, in this time, I am tearing off what is so easily entangling me, this sin that is wrapped around me that I feel like I can't get out of, and I'm going to turn to the Lord. And time after time, he will pull you out of it. But our life on this world is going to be living in sin. He has given us the tool in our toolbox to get out of it, church. You do not have to live in this. Yes, you will be tempted. Yes, you will have trouble, but take heart, church. Take heart. He says, I have overcome that world. I have overcome your world. I have overcome your sin.
That secret sin that you're thinking about right now, he's overcome it. He's overcome it. Be vulnerable, church. Be free. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. Mask or no mask. Vaccine or no vaccine. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. Walk in obedience. Walk in submission. Don't let that sin entangle you to think that you can't do what the Lord has called you to do because of where you're at right now. If you would have said 4 years ago, Chris, 4 years ago, and 4 years from now, here's where you're going to be, I would have said, no way. I would kick my shoes off and I would have said, I'm going to sit right here and get comfortable because I don't think that's where I can go. But guess what? It's like getting uncomfortable. I feel like I'm more transparent now about my life than I was 4 years ago to continue walking in the light. And I am not a perfect person. Don't get me wrong. I hope you walk away understanding that you're not perfect and neither is the one preaching today, because I am not. But what I do know is that secret sauce is an intimate relationship with Jesus. Intimate relationship with Jesus. The word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek the face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. Restore. Restore. The Lord has promised each of you great things. And on your walk, you may have forgotten about those things, but he wants to restore it today in Jesus' name. He wants to bring it back into perfect balance in Jesus' name. I'll close with this. One thing I didn't talk about is forgiveness. And that's a big part of the other side that the Lord gives us is forgiveness. And I just want to talk about it briefly. Forgiveness is for you. We forgive so we can walk in freedom. That person needs to hear you say, hey, I forgive you, but you need to hear yourself say, hey, I forgive you. So it doesn't harbor, it doesn't fester anything in you. There's members of my own family that love Jesus and publicly will say they love Jesus, but are harboring things against each other. Why do I say that? If you are harboring something in your heart against another person, that's an issue that you got to deal with, not an issue that they got to deal with. Understanding forgiveness helps us understand why we so graciously receive it from the Lord. Is that we got to understand what it means to forgive so that we can embrace what it means to receive grace, what it means to turn away from it. Father, I thank you so much for today. You got me up here with no shoes on, hair pulled up, and I'm grateful for it, Lord. I thank you so much for the ability to be able to be here today. I thank you so much for the grace that you've given me in my life. I thank you so much for the intimacy that we share together today. Lord, I pray that you convict through your Holy Spirit anybody in here that's harboring anything against one another, Lord. Anybody in here that is not walking a path of righteousness, that's not walking a path of obedience, that's not walking a path of submission, Lord. And I pray that through wisdom and discernment and through intimacy with you, you help them turn and repent. Lord, I pray that you don't give them just a prayer to pray, but a life to live that brings glory to you, Father. I pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.